Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Welcome back. I'm having a lively chat already with our next guest because this is about people who are homeless and living in what we still call emergency accommodation after all these years. And they're being encouraged to register to vote in the forthcoming elections in order to have their voice heard. It's a very good idea. Focus Ireland has launched the drive to register, and this morning I'm joined in studio by Louise Bayliss, who is campaign coordinator with the charity. You're in charge of this drive, basically, aren't you? Isn't it the shorthand?
Yeah.
And also Kellyanne Byrne, who found herself homeless on two separate occasions and is now in your forever home. Congratulations. Yeah. And a former lived experience ambassador for Focus Ireland. You're still an ambassador, is it? A former?
A former. So I have literally just progressed on now to do other things.
Oh, and right, okay.
There is new ambassadors that have come with, you know, their life experience. And yes. I think the more voices and the more people that are, you know, able to come forward and share their life experience, I think that's what builds connection in the world. And that's what helps create change, you know.
And also one of the reasons why we say former ambassadors, we don't want people defined as their homeless status for the rest of their lives.
Very
so when we ask people to be an ambassador, it's a 2-year term. Just Kelly has just gotten involved in loads of other things and still is a voice for us.
That's it.
But you speak the absolute truth, because we've seen in every campaign for change worldwide, it's personal stories that really resonate with people, because otherwise they're just statistics that get lost. Can we find a little bit about you, Kellyanne, and your background and how you...
So my name's Kelly and I'm a mommy. I'm also... very, very, you know, interested and involved in the likes of creating change for the world and, you know, just what's not working and using my voice.
The world was stacked against you from a young age. You were in the foster care system
it's been
as a child.
A battle, you know, but it's been, I suppose, a lot of learning as well, which has been great. I think in life you have a choice of what way you can view things, you know, and I'm very fortunate that I viewed it as a learning curve and just, you know, took it on board and I'm now using it in a positive light, please God, to turning pain into power, using it in a way to, you know, help others, prevent others from going through what I experienced, and basically saying to the government, this is what you have implemented in the past with your decisions, and this is what's not working because, you know, I've lived through them.
Several governments.
Several.
Can you tell us what was going on in your life at the age of 16 when you became homeless?
Yeah, so I have lived in foster care up until the age of 16 and just had, you know, so much emotional turmoil. Let's say, even just growing up in foster care, trying to understand, you know, like what my life situation was. And so I became homeless then when I was 16. And I tell you, I got the absolute shock of my life. I think that was a huge crossing in my journey, as in, you know, it was a time where I was like, give up or try and just survive, you know, take each day as it comes. And I went into complete survival mode.
Really?
Went into complete survival mode. And if I'm honest with you now, I just absolutely felt like I was nothing. I was nobody. I wasn't a part of anything. That nobody, almost like I was invisible. You know, I used to have to, I had a newborn and I used to have to walk the streets with the newborn.
You were pregnant at 16.
I was pregnant at 16 and I actually
And then suddenly homeless with this, like your child.
My newborn son, yeah. And my newborn son, he actually wasn't well. He was a chronic asthmatic. He nearly died on me 3 times. Like, and this is in the midst of homelessness. So this is like walking the streets, no matter what type of weather.
Yeah.
Having nowhere to go, having no support, having no family, just absolute turmoil. This was, I'd say, a huge breaking point in my life, that if I didn't have my son and keep in my frame of mind that he needed me, I don't think I would have got through and be able to be here today. And, you know,
it's incredible you did survive all that.
100%.
Where did you, the pair of you, sleep in those days?
So we were in a hostel on the South Circular Road. It's called the Missionaries of Charity. It's like nuns, like Mother Teresa. I'll never forget them. Like, I'd be very spiritual myself. And spiritual, you know, isn't about religion or anything like that.
Yes.
It's about, you know, yourself, who you are, empowering yourself, strength, and anything positive that can help you on your life's journey, which I think is another part that helped carry me through. Mm-hmm. You know, that frame of mind of always trying to look for the positivity, always trying to have, you know, the hope of something better, you know, is going to come out of this. Yeah. And
so these were the nuns of the Missionaries of Charity convent on the South Circular Road. Do you remember how you were directed towards them?
So the Easton Health Board had nowhere else to put me, so they had to put me into the homeless hostel. And do you know, I have to say, and this is another positive perspective of like the way I view things, as in, because my newborn was so sick.
Yeah.
And then in ICU 3 times, like, I think we spent the majority of the time, if we weren't on the streets, we spent in Crumlin Hospital. But other than that, like, I'd be looking for places like McDonald's, walking the parks if it's okay, but literally just, do you know, when you don't have a routine and a structure and a reason for living outside, let's say, of, you know, what I was saying to you about being a mum and him needing me, days are very, very long.
Yeah,
very, very long.
Especially with a baby, I mean.
Oh my gosh, and having no money, having nowhere to go, and just really, really feeling alienated.
Is that
from the community?
The way people would view you on the street going around.
Yeah, and I think as well, because I was young, you know, I was like viewed upon as, you know, not capable, or I was viewed upon that people had the right to comment on me as a parent. Oh, the baby looks cold, or you know things
doing?
Like this. Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And now, mothers of newborns are thinking, it's an exhausting time. You need to sleep, rest. You need to keep the baby warm. I mean, it's unbelievable that this was your life at that stage.
I know. It was complete survival mode. But I think from growing up in foster care as well, I had already gained, you know, that aspect of living in survival mode. I was always looking over my shoulder. I was always, you know, paranoid, and, you know, but I had to be, because it was a way to protect myself. So I built this shell, let's say.
Yeah.
And it was just then a stronger continuation of survival. And I'm either going to survive this or I'm not. And I need to survive this because my son needs me.
What age is that baby now?
He is 21 years of age.
Nearly 22.
Nearly 22. Nearly 22.
And do you tell him, do you regale these stories?
I do indeed. We have a very real relationship, which is great. I'm now looking up, giving out to him. No, but we have a very real relationship, which is fantastic. And I learn from him now. I hope he's not listening, but I learn from him probably more so than he learns from me. But we're a great team. Mm-hmm. You know, like, me and my family were a great team.
Oh,
and I've built that.
Resilience, incredible.
Absolutely.
What's the kind of a quick story then between, you know, coming out of homelessness, you were in rented accommodation, is it? Is that from being in a relationship? How does that come about?
So in several different rented accommodations. I think over the past, we're in our forever home over 8 years now.
Brilliant.
And the stability, and that's thanks to Focus Ireland now. Absolutely fantastic. And not just a home, like not just a roof over your head. Like I have now the emotional support. I have, you know, it's almost like I do call it my dysfunctional family.
Mm.
You know, I have that support. And, you know, I think as well, people have this perspective that, you know, you just get people like myself just get given a house. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. I still have to pay my rent. I still have to pay bills. You know, it's helped me to be able to have a structure and see what I want to do. You know, and just not survive anymore.
And the giving back that you've done as well.
Absolutely, the giving back is, you know. Yeah, I'm really, it's given me the strength in the sense of like to fight for others, others who don't have a voice, you know.
Yeah, your story is incredible. We've almost only told half of it here, to be honest, because you go into those rental accommodation, relationships break down and you find yourself in that emergency accommodation that is now very familiar to us. Those cruel figures we see at the end of every month. But you have more tragedy in your life.
You know, I do have a lot of experience, especially when it comes to trauma and stuff like that. But I also have experienced a lot of healing as well. And kind of, I think in life we're all built, you know, we all have, a tool belt. And, you know, a lot of tools were handed down from like our parents and past generations and stuff. But I think
you have a hammer and tongs. Is the
I think I've had to really, like, you know, carve my own tools.
But that is the point. Like children coming from care, they do not have the support network and the support background. Mm-hmm. And the reality is a lot of people in homelessness and in emergency accommodation is because they don't have that support network. I mean, homelessness could happen to me or to you tomorrow, but the reality is we probably have family there to support us in a short temporary thing. People in emergency accommodation don't always have that. Now, not necessarily, but what we see is when we had our first lived experience ambassadors and we sat in a workshop for the first time, we all shared our stories, all myself included and the other five ambassadors. We shared and very open with each other. Yeah. And one of the things that came, and none of us knew this when we got into the room, four out of our five ambassadors had experienced some aspect of care as a child. When Focus Ireland gives homes, as Kelly alluded to there earlier, we don't just give a home. There's a housing support worker offered to every single person who's there to step in and out of their life as people have support needs and come in and out. And Kelly would have an amazing support worker.
As Roddy Doyle's film Rosie taught us, these are working people
who are
caught in the rental surges and they end up in emergency accommodation.
That's very true. What we see is at the moment is so many people, and we're trying to advocate for work to be considered, that people are supported to remain in their jobs when they do end up in emergency. Who would have thought we'd need to say that 10 years ago?
So this drive is to register, to get these people to register to vote, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's
because
so
traditionally
important.
We don't think we hear from them too often.
Yeah, you know, like, and I suppose I'm really speaking to people who are homeless or, you know, like, really, I know you're in a time of feeling perilous, you know, like, and it's a time where you feel, you know, Focus Ireland has just had a campaign of unseen but not forgotten. And I really, really, you know, emphasise that, like, you are seen. You are, and that's like what I'm fighting for, as in I'm fighting for you to find the power within yourself to know that you are worthy and that your vote will count. Your vote will change.
It's the one place in society that everybody is equal. It doesn't matter whether you have €1 million in your pocket or €5 in your pocket.
Your vote is exactly the same.
And that's when we've been going around doing the voter registration drive in some of our services, and especially with young people. I won't say what one young person said, but he said, "I can't wait to vote and do." He gave a very crude gesture to the government. And I thought that sense of empowerment is really important.
Yeah. Are they worried because do they have a permanent enough address to vote?
Yeah, and that has been an issue. And luckily, legislation changed last year and that allows people to register just with their PPSN number and an air code. We use PUS service, which is a service address point, which is directly to support people in emergency accommodation. If people come into our services, we're able to register them online and get their vote ready. We're really conscious that the election possibly will be called tomorrow. We'll have a very short window.
Thursday, they say, on the 29th of November.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be very short length of time for people to register. Yeah. If we go ahead and the election is called on the 29th of November, as speculated, people would need to be registered online by the 12th, which is next Tuesday. So that's why we're really saying in the next week, don't wait for the government to call the election. Start registering now. Make sure your vote counts. And on top of that, because we're really conscious that it's how do you know who to vote for, who'll do something with the housing situation. Focus Ireland have come up with a general election plan. We have five solutions that we believe will end housing and homelessness crisis. We're enabling a tool on our website that people will be able to go on, check, send an automated email to all the candidates in their area, find their response to our solutions. Will they support ending homelessness?
And so you can and quiz then, them on the doorstep.
Exactly. You can quiz them on the doorstep and also see who will support the things that align with your values.
Louise, you would know roughly where people are in emergency accommodation at the moment. Do you know, are they on the voting register? Is it a very low number?
There's a very low number as far as we can see. It's very hard to know exactly. Mm-hmm. But as part of our key working, all our project workers now, when they're dealing with somebody, they ask the normal questions. Have you got your social welfare? Have you got your pension? Have you got your... all the things that are you registered with a GP, all of those type of questions. Mm. They're now questioning is, have you registered to vote? Have you not? Let's register to vote now. So it's part of our ongoing. So while this is a short 1 week campaign to get people to register, it's part of our very ongoing important process to really, one of our values is empowerment. And I don't think there's a better way to empower somebody who feels unheard, unforgotten, unseen, than empowering them to vote and use their vote in a proactive way to end their situation.
There are 15,000 registered in emergency accommodation, we know, but that doesn't include the figure that might be couch surfing, living with relatives,
or living,
have things in their name.
Yeah,
like
so it's it, while obviously Focus Ireland is concerned about homelessness, we're also concerned about the housing crisis. Homelessness is a direct result of the housing crisis. Yeah. We have solutions that we hope would end all of the housing and homelessness.
Yeah. Kelly, when you were in emergency accommodation, did you use your vote?
I actually didn't. I think we've come a long way since back then, since I didn't have that awareness or...
Probably wasn't a priority, was it?
It wasn't. It really wasn't. I didn't have, could barely get through the day. But I think now with Focus Ireland and having that awareness and, they have... what I love about
Focus
Ireland...
There were no campaigns
Ireland,
like this at the time.
Absolutely. Focus Ireland built... a solution, not just say what the problem is. They have a solution, and I think that's fantastic, where people can go online now and they can look and see and educate themselves of, because government use a lot of terminology which is very hard to understand, and I think that's what zones a lot of people out. They think that they're not able to understand, and just, then they literally close up and they're like, that's not for me, I feel stupid.
I see what you mean, yeah.
And can I just say, Kelly's underselling herself there. Kelly has gone into a joint Oireachtas committee and spoken to TDs and senators about what the implication of child poverty. So I think you do understand and can share it quite well.
She certainly does. And the many more of them in there do. In
absolutely. They are experts in their own experience. And that's why it's so important for us to have a lived experience ambassador programme and to use the experiential knowledge. I know the facts and figures about homelessness. I've never experienced it. And every story I come across, there's a new aspect, there's a new learning. And it's great to work with people in sharing their knowledge.
So it's people listening who are either in this situation or might know families and people of voting age. What should they do? Is it come to a Focus Ireland office?
Yeah, come to a Focus Ireland office and just ask, could they help? All our staff have been trained and have the skills to be able to register there and then online. In the worst case scenario, if they can't find a local office and they're in Dublin, they can just phone up High Street and make an appointment and somebody will register them or call into our coffee shop. But otherwise, if they go to their local service around the country, there should be staff there available to
help
them.
And there are case workers, are there, that deal with
the case workers
people?
Are there, like... Our family HAT team, they're the Family Homeless Action Team. They go work in all the emergency accommodations around the country. They're going in there, working with people, registering them on the housing list, bringing them to viewings, doing all that really necessary work to move them out of emergency accommodation, providing having support for their children.
That's what Focus Ireland do now. We don't
run hostels ourselves, but we do support people in it. So our family homeless action team, they go into families, they have a certain number of cases, and they'll work with that family on it, you know, go over and meet with them. But as part of that, they're all trained up into registering somebody to vote as well, and to explain the importance of registering. So again, anybody in emergency accommodation should have access to some type of support.
Are there people who've been living in this emergency accommodation for years and years?
Well,
or there, is it a revolving...
We know of families who are 2 years plus living in emergency accommodation. There's some horrific stories. So I just recently I met a woman, because we're actually Kelly's involved in this project as well. It's an EU funded project. But this lady has been in an emergency accommodation for 2.5 years. She moved out of emergency accommodation last May into a HAP property, and the landlord has given her notice, and she's due to.
So that's where she had rent that was assisted by the government.
She's being evicted again because the landlord wants the property back for himself. So she will be, after being 2.5 years in emergency accommodation, she moved out using the housing assistance payment and will be due back in January to go back into emergency. And she's very scared because she said, after this great idea of hope coming in, she's a young child. She's going back into looking for jobs. She's involved in working with us on the research project, doing all these really proactive things. And she feels she's going backwards. And I sometimes hear people saying, well, why don't they just, they're all waiting for their forever home. I tell you, Oliver, if I was in emergency accommodation and then knew with my child and knew how hard it was, I would try to avoid ever having that risk again. I think I'd wait for my forever home again, because this poor lady did use HAP to move out and has going to be coming back in again. You know, I think people need to understand the fear that people have. Everybody's trying to move out. Everybody's trying to move on. The reality is,
and then you can start your life when you got the. You're the evidence of that, Kelly.
Absolutely,
aren't you?
Give people the right supports, or help people with the right supports who don't have the supports needed. That is really a given right from, you know, young childhood. Give people the right supports and just watch them drive.
Yeah.
Do you know, we could have our latest, like, doctor, you know, our latest cure for cancer, or, you know, literally living in a hub right now.
Yeah.
You know, and give people stability, give them, you know, what they need. Basic right. Basic right is to have a home and a safe place. And like homeless people and that people who, you know, are living in, you know, little small hubs with their children, you know, looking at four walls every day. I remember hearing, like, doing their homework on, like, the windowsill of the hope, like, you know, really, you know, use your vote and let's create change together. Let's, you know, make sure everybody has a home and a safe place.
And I would just add, like, one of the things that really upsets us is the standards in different hubs are so different. So there's some run by NGOs and their standards are as good as could be expected in the situation. But there's others run by private enterprises, and there's no social care workers. There's rules that really impact on especially lone parent families. Like, there would be rules around you cannot bring children into the kitchen area to prepare a meal because of health and safety. Okay. But also you can't leave them in their bedrooms. So how is a lone parent, are you able to cook a meal for them? You can't. You know, these rules that on their own seem quite reasonable, but put together, it makes living there impossible for families.
It's good to hear this, because they are a clump of society that we don't hear from, because obviously they're in this emergency accommodation coated in shame, really, aren't they? That's why we don't hear the personal stories. So you've kind of told us.
And we're very conscious of that. And that's why our lived experience programme is people who've gone through the crisis and out the other side. We don't want to exploit people who are already in the midst of a crisis.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, we should say that the government would tell us that and use the actual figures, that the number of homes built is going up all the time. A 10% increase last year on 2022. And it's a little bit down on last year, though. The number of homes built so far this year years margin behind the number of properties completed by this time last year. But I saw Micheál Martin saying in an interview yesterday that there are cause for hope,
no,
and they think they've turned
the corner.
No,
and I will acknowledge that there is more social housing being built, which is really positive.
Yeah.
But what we're not seeing it is being directed to those in the most acute form of the housing crisis, those in emergency accommodation. So despite the fact that we're getting more social homes online, we're not seeing it reducing the homeless figures, and we're seeing them going up every month.
Just with an eye to the election. I'm putting these figures in, you know, because we, and I know you, in fairness, haven't gone into party politics on us this morning. One texter says, well, a fantastic woman. This is you, Kelly. It's a person like that we need as president, not some retiring politician. So that's for
Thank
a different
you.
Election, maybe in a year's time. But in the meantime, let's get registered for this one.
Yes, absolutely.
Our thanks to Louise Bayliss, campaign coordinator at Focus Ireland, and also to Kellyanne Byrne, your former Focus Ireland lived experience ambassador. And good luck to you and your little ones that
Thank
are not so
much.
Little maybe anymore. thank you so much. 51551 for a text.